All right. Have you ever thought about how things are made? I mean, like everyday stuff, plastic things. Like, oh, I don't know, like the case for your headphones or like those little plastic containers you get at the store. Well, get this. The sources we're diving into today are all about the process that makes that happen. And it's called injection molding.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've been reading up on it and it is so cool. It's basically like this hidden world of precision and engineering and like, I don't know, it just blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it really is everywhere once you start to think about it. Like, even something as complex as a car dashboard, a lot of that is made using injection molding.
Oh, totally. And that's actually a great example. Like, imagine taking these tiny little plastic pellets and somehow turning them into a whole dashboard with all those curves and buttons and everything. How does that even work?
Well, that's the magic of injection molding, right?
Yeah.
You're basically taking these pellets, which are usually made of some kind of thermoplastic, and you heat them up until they melt into this liquid.
Yeah.
And then, using a really precise machine, you inject that molten plastic into a mold, which is basically a mirror image of the part you want to create.
Oh, I see. So it's like pouring batter into a cake pan, but way more high tech.
Exactly. And the amazing thing is, these molds can be incredibly detailed and complex. Like, one of the sources I was reading mentioned a mold that can produce hundreds of bottle caps every minute.
Whoa, hold on. Hundreds per minute.
It's mind-blowing how fast and efficient this process can be.
That is crazy. Okay, but back up a sec. You said something about thermoplastics. Are those like a specific kind of plastic?
Yeah, thermoplastics are basically plastics that can be melted and reshaped multiple times. Think of it like melting butter. You can melt it, let it cool and harden, then melt it again, and it'll still be butter.
Right.
So that's what makes them recyclable, which is a huge plus.
Got it. So they are the more eco-friendly option then, I guess.
You could say that. But you know there's another type too, right? They're called thermosets.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Well, those are different. They're like a baked cake. Once they're set, they can't be melted down again. They're more rigid and heat resistant. Good for things like electrical components.
Okay. I'm making a note to look into that more later, but for now, let's stick with thermoplastics and injection molding. So you melt down these pellets, inject them into a super detailed mold, and boom, you have a perfectly shaped part.
Pretty much. But it's not quite as simple as boom. There are a lot of factors that go into ensuring the part comes out perfectly.
Like what?
Well, the injection molding machine itself is a marvel of engineering. It has to precisely control the temperature and pressure of the molten plastic, as well as the cooling time.
Oh, so it's like a very delicate dance between heat, pressure, and timing.
You could say that.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you have to choose the right type of thermoplastic for the job. Some plastics are stronger, some are more flexible, some are more resistant to chemicals, you know.
So it's not just a one-size-fits-all situation.
Not at all. The material choice is super important because it directly affects the final product's properties and how well it performs its intended function.
Right, like you were saying earlier, you wouldn't want a flimsy car bumper or a water bottle that melts in the sun.
Exactly. Each plastic has its own unique set of characteristics, so you have to choose wisely.
Wow, this is getting way more complex than I initially thought, but I'm also kind of fascinated by it now. It's like a whole hidden world of design and engineering that most people never even think about.
I know, right? It's pretty cool once you start to peel back the layers and see all the thought and precision that goes into creating these seemingly simple plastic objects.
It's like every little plastic thing suddenly has a story behind it now.
Exactly. And the story goes even deeper when you start looking at the specific types of plastics and their properties, which we'll do in the next part of our dive. Stay tuned.
All right, so last time we kind of blew our minds with the sheer volume of plastic stuff around us, right?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
But now I'm curious, like, okay, it's all plastic, but it's not all the same plastic, is it?
Oh, definitely not. It's a whole world of different materials. Each one's got its own, personality.
Okay, so like, what are we talking here? Different grades of plastic or something?
You could think of it that way, but the big divide is between thermoplastics and thermosets, these two main categories.
Yeah.
They're like fundamentally different.
Okay, so remind me again, what's a thermoplastic? We touched on it last time.
So picture this. You've got a Lego brick. You can melt it down, build something, break it apart, melt it again and again. Thermoplastics, that's them.
So, like, that's why they're good for recycling, right?
Exactly. You got it. They can be melted and remolded a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Huge win for sustainability, right?
Makes sense. So what's a good example of a thermoplastic?
Well, polyethylene's a big one. Like, it's everywhere, right? Milk jugs, grocery bags, those honey bottles that squish.
Ah, the squish factor. Never thought of that.
But yeah, polyethylene's like the workhorse of the plastic world.
Mm-hmm.
Adaptable.
Okay, got it. So what about the other kind? The thermosomething.
Thermosets. Yeah, these guys are different. Think of a perfectly baked cake. Once it's set, that's it. No more melting.
Okay, so they're like more permanent.
Pretty much. Heat won't melt them, they just char. They've got these super strong bonds, so they're real tough, heat resistant, good for like electrical stuff or anything that needs to take the heat, you know?
Gotcha. So my phone charger, probably some thermoset action going on in there.
Most likely. But choosing the right plastic, it's not just about whether it melts or not. There's more to it.
Okay, so what else do they got to think about?
Well, obviously strength is big, right? You don't want a car bumper that crumples like tinfoil.
Or a water bottle that shatters the first time you drop it.
Exactly. Then there's flexibility. Some things need to bend, some need to stay rigid.
Makes sense. What about like how well they handle different temperatures?
Oh, that's huge. Temperature resistance.
Yeah.
Some plastics are cool with heat, others not so much.
Mm.
Think like engine parts versus, I don't know, a plastic cup.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And then there's chemical resistance, too. Some plastics, they're fine holding, say, orange juice.
But others, like, the acid eats through them?
Yeah, or they could leach chemicals into the juice, which is bad news.
Yikes. So it's like matching the plastic to the job based on what it'll be holding.
Right. Like. And then some plastics are transparent, some aren't. Matters for lenses, displays, all that.
Man, my head's spinning. It's like a million factors to think about.
It's a lot, right. But the main thing is, each plastic's got its own strengths and weaknesses. It's like putting together a superhero team.
Okay, I like that analogy. So you need the right combo of powers for the mission.
Exactly. But we haven't even touched on the really wild stuff yet. There are these specialized plastics. They're like next level.
Oh, yeah. The sources mention those. What makes them so special?
Well, they're engineered to have like super specific properties, almost like giving them superpowers.
Ooh. Okay, now you've got my attention.
So, for example, there are conductive plastics that can actually carry electricity.
Hold up, plastic that acts like a wire? That's insane.
Pretty wild, right? They're crucial in electronics, prevent static buildup that could fry your circuits.
Huh. Okay, that makes sense. What other superpowers are we talking?
Well, you've got flame retardant plastics. They're in airplanes, electrical boxes, anything where fire is a big no-no.
Yeah, that makes sense. Keep those fires contained.
Then there are biocompatible plastics. They go in medical implants, UV-resistant ones for outdoors, even biodegradable ones that break down naturally.
Okay, now my mind is officially blown. We went from Legos to superheroes in like 5 minutes.
It's a whole world, right?
Okay.
But it's not all sunshine and roses. There's the environmental impact to think about.
Right. Got to bring it back down to earth a little.
Yeah, the plastic problem, it's a big one. We'll dig into that more in the next part. The challenges, the solutions, all of it.
Right, so we've gone deep on injection molding, haven't we?
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
But, like, how does all this connect back to us, you know, everyday people?
That's the real question, right? All this info, but what's it actually mean for our lives?
Exactly. I mean, injection molded stuff, it's everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Look around, it's practically inescapable.
Like, seriously, I'm looking at my phone, my laptop, even the coffee cup on my desk, they've all got to be injection molded, right?
Chances are, yeah. It's kind of wild when you start noticing it. The hidden world of plastic.
And now that we know how it works and all the different types of plastic, it's like, I don't know, it changes how you see these things.
For sure. It's like becoming a more informed consumer.
Yeah. Like now when I buy a water bottle, I'm going to be checking, is this polyethylene? Is it recyclable?
Exactly. Or if you're getting a new phone case, maybe you want that tough polycarbonate, the one that won't crack if you drop it.
And knowing about thermosets, how tough they are, that makes me appreciate my old trusty appliances even more.
It's all about making those connections, right? Between the material, the process, and the product.
Yeah, it's like everything has a story now.
But it's not just about individual choices either. Injection molding, it's had this huge impact on, like, society as a whole.
Really? How so?
Well, think about it. It's made so many products way more affordable.
Oh, true, yeah.
All those gadgets, toys, household stuff, it's accessible to more people because injection molding's so efficient.
That's a good point. But we got to talk about the downside too, right? All this plastic, it's not great for the environment.
Yeah, the elephant in the room. It's a complex issue for sure.
So, like, are there any solutions out there? Or are we just doomed to drown in plastic?
Hey, don't lose hope. There's a lot of work being done.
Like what? Give me some good news.
Well, using recycled plastic and injection molding, that's getting big. lots of companies are on board.
So less virgin plastic, that's gotta help.
Definitely. And remember those biodegradable plastics we talked about?
Yeah, the ones that just, like, disappear.
Well, the research on those is booming. It's still early, but imagine a future where plastic just breaks down naturally.
Yeah.
Game changer.
That would be amazing. So it sounds like there's hope for a more sustainable future for plastic, which is a relief.
Yeah, it's not all doom and gloom. But we all got to do our part too, right?
Totally. Reduce, reuse, recycle, all that good stuff.
Right. Choose reusable options when you can, recycle properly, and support companies that are, you know, trying to do things right.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've covered just about everything there is to cover on injection molding, haven't we?
I think so. From tiny pellets to the products we use every day.
It's been quite a journey.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can learn when you take a deep dive into something.
That's what we're all about here on The Dope Dive. Curiosity, learning, and hopefully having a little fun along the way.
Exactly. Never stop learning, folks.
So one last thought for you as you head back out into the world. Take a look around and see how many things you can spot that were probably made using injection molding. It's everywhere. And now that you know the story behind it, those objects might just look a little different. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration into, well, who knows what? The world's full of amazing things just waiting to be discovered.